Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Oh, I know it's wrong. I've got my hearing aids. I have it, my hearing aids in the wrong position. That's why I was a little bit confused. All right, let's turn to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we've studied down all to about about halfway down, about verse 10 or 11, somewhere in there. I think we've gone beyond that. But as I've been thinking about our relationship with the Lord, we need to understand that when we read the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew wrote it. Matthew was a Jew, and he was presenting the Christ to Jews under the law. And the events of Matthew, like the events of Mark and Luke, are during the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And during the public ministry of our Lord, because he had not yet died, the Jews were still responsible to their covenant relationship with the Lord. And that covenant relationship was, they said when they came out of Egypt, and God gave them the law orally before he had met Moses come to the mountain and get the actual tablets. And they said in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, many a person under the canopy of Christianity has made the same sort of false claim. If we really understand who we are and what we are, and then what the law was for, the law in itself was not, it wasn't to provide salvation. Indirectly it was, but the law was established to convince the Jews that they were guilty before God and that they could not satisfy him by the works of their own hands. But they were steeped in the idea that they could. So when the law was given to them, well, let's go to the 19th chapter of Exodus. May as well read it. All right. At verse 7 of that 19th chapter, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So, read the law to them. This is what, God's willing to have a covenant relationship with you based upon law. Of course, God is omniscient, so God knew that they would say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But by the same token, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many?
Not even one.
So when we think about that, and we read the law, then we realize all the law can do for us is what?
Condemn us.
Yeah. It's a ministry of condemnation and death. And so in our Lord's public ministry to the Jews, which we have been reading about in the book of Matthew, when he tells the Jews, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, that's not an encouragement to good living. That's putting the law in a nutshell and say, this is what the law requires. And if you're going to be justified by the life that you live, all you have to do is be perfect. Well, I know there are a lot of people that think they are, but the law condemns all of us. And so that was its role. You know, the ministry of the law is a ministry of condemnation and death. Are the principles of the law good and right and holy? Absolutely, because God is good and right and holy. But no man has the ability to keep it. The only man who could keep it and did keep it, you know, was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is God incarnate. You know, God became a man through the virgin birth so that he could be both God and man, but man without a sin nature, so that he as a Jew could live his life as a Jew and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and then that he could make one sacrifice for sin forever. The animal sacrifices that were given with the law were there as object lessons. You know, for example, we'll be coming on what we call Easter, it's actually Passover, very soon. And you take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, you can examine that lamb until the 14th day of the month, and the whole congregation of Israel takes their lamb and slays it in the evening. They catch its blood in a basin, and with scarlet wool and hyssop, they dip it in there and strike on the upper doorpost and on each side post with blood. So it leaves, basically, if you came down across the back, you're going to have a bloody cross on the door. There's no salvation or no possible salvation for anyone born of woman by the works of his own hands. Absolutely impossible. But all of the religions of the world are all based upon the lie of the devil, which he said to Eve, you know, Elohim, God, in the plural form. Elohim is plural. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Elohim has said, you know, or basically, the day you eat thereof, you're going to be like Elohim. I got mixed up with what I was quoting. Anyway, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt what?
Surely die.
Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth. Now, why do we have that condition? We talk about it all the time. But we have to realize there is a principle called federal headship. And federal headship means that one stands for all. One of our founding fathers, we fought a war against England to gain our independence, and then we formed a government with a constitution and all of this type of thing. And basically, the people of America have been the freest people in the world. Yeah. But it's amazing how even the lie of the devil enters politics the same as it enters into people's everyday life. And I happened to be watching a show the other night, and they came on with a film clip that was back probably in the early 60s. And all of these people formed a parade and a crowd in New York City, and they were just declaring the fact that, you know, men, women, whatever, that they were homosexuals. Yeah. Well, we know that's going to come. I remember a fellow that called me, it's been 20 years or more ago now, and he wanted us to back a movement and wanted to know if he could leave some literature and all that type of thing. And at that point in time, they were trying to get on the ballot to make it illegal, you know, to practice homosexuality in the state of Oregon. And of course, Oregon's one of the most liberal states in all of our states. But I said, you can try to get it, but it's never going to happen, you know, because our Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, back at that time, we had about 1% of the craziness that we see right now in America. You know, it's worldwide. But our Lord promised that it would be like it was in the days of Lot. Well, Lot was married. He had two daughters. The daughters were both married. And Lot tried to get them to flee the city with him. But Lot didn't have any testimony before him because Lot had moved to Sodom because he was making good money, and actually he was in the government of Sodom. So when God said, get out, he says, don't look back. And Mrs. Lot had to take one last long, loving look at Sodom. She didn't want to leave. No. She was somebody in Sodom. Yeah. And God brought judgment upon her and turned her into a pillar of stone. Well, when Jesus said it'll be like it was in the days of Lot in the latter days, boy, we can really see it now. I mean, I can't think of all the letters that they use to describe all the different forms. You know, people have been practicing now all of that all the way back to Adam. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. But, you know, you can't legalize people or force people to be quote-unquote moral. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, sinneth not. The Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And let me read a little bit here in the 20th chapter. Now, I'm going to make you feel bad. I guarantee. Yeah. I can't keep this. You can't keep this. The Jews couldn't keep this. And God spake all these words, saying, I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What was the first thing the Jews did when Moses was on the mount for an extended period of time? They said, up, make us a god. So he fashioned a calf, you know, out of gold, and put it on a pedestal, and on that pedestal with a graving tool, they did like stick figures of the bull gods of Egypt. You know. And then the Jews had a whingding orgy, you know, because all of the religions that you read about in the Old Testament, almost every one of them was practiced by sexual immorality. You know. So they had a win-win proposition. But they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And God brought judgment upon the land of Egypt because of the 10 false gods that they worshiped. And the last was the firstborn. Now, next month, we'll celebrate Easter. You know? And Easter is a pagan name for a pagan goddess, Eostra. You know, and there's about 15, 20 different names, similar in sound, but basically we've coined the word Easter from it. She's the goddess of spring. Yeah. What happens in the spring? Everything blooms. She's the goddess of fertility. That's why we have Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. You know, rabbits can reproduce very rapidly in large litters. So, you know, people think that they can live according to God's law. Watch. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, everybody worships a god of their own making. They certainly don't find, who God is in the scriptures. They can't, if they read the Bible, they can't understand it, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. But they said that they would do all these things. And God says, okay, you shall have no other gods before me. What was the first thing they did when they were having that wing-ding? Make us a god. Yeah. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. But they wanted Aaron to make them a graven image or any likeness of anything. They made it of a bull that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under in the water under the earth. So we have all kinds of, I don't think anybody knows how many different species of sea life there actually are or is. You know, there's so many different ones, and there's places in the sea that we can't dive to that depth because the pressure becomes so heavy. Even with their submersibles, they can go pretty deep, but the pressure gets heavier and heavier trying to crush it. And so God created all of those, and they can live at that depth, but nobody else can. Okay. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am what?
Jealous.
A jealous God. Yeah. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. You want to be under law? Your sins will carry over to your children's sin, and I'll judge them for your sins. God doesn't have to judge them for their sins, because the kids do the same thing that the parents did. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, the law was designed to show Israel guilty before God. Yeah. It was not designed to teach in this age Christians how to live. If we put ourselves under the law, it will have exactly the same end as it did for the Jews. It condemned them. And what's the New Testament say? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified where?
In God's sight.
Lots of people are self-justified. You know, they modify this law and that law to make themselves think that they're keeping it. So it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, people do that every day. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That doesn't mean just swearing or a filthy mouth. That means God did this, which he didn't do, and God did that, which he didn't do. They make a god of their own choosing. And then he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Of all of the laws that the Jews had, what was the simplest one to keep?
The Sabbath.
Just take a day off. Yeah. But they couldn't keep that one either. They could only travel the distance from the outside of the camp into the tabernacle to worship the Lord there, and then back to where they lived at the outer, some of them lived close to the tabernacle, others lived farther away. But a Sabbath day's journey was the distance from the outside of the camp into the tabernacle in the wilderness and back to where you lived. So it was, I can't remember exactly what the distance was, but, about a mile, I would say, at the most. Okay? So then, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Well, people at work, and when I was still in the commercial two-way radio business, you know, I put in some horrendous hours. Nobody would take any overtime, so they laid it all on me. Yeah. Well, I wasn't making that much money in the first place. When I see a $15 minimum wage today, I've never made close to $15 an hour at any time in my life. You know, if I figured it out, maybe right towards the end, I was making as much as $5 an hour. You know, before I had the heart attack and couldn't preach and run a two-way radio business at the same time. But the point is, you know, you're only supposed to work 6 days a week. And it's 6 days that you work. And the seventh day is a day of rest. Well, can't we go to the football games? Can't we go to the basketball game? You know, can't we go to this event or that event? You know, no, you're supposed to rest. Yeah, and anymore, you know, it's incredible. Everybody's looking for the weekend so they can run and do what they couldn't do during the week when they had to work. So but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gate. Everybody rest. You know, so you can't hook up the horse to the buggy and go for a little spin in the country. The horse gets to rest too. So he goes on, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all of them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, set it apart for rest. And then he says, honor your father and your mother. Boy, in the day in which we live, it doesn't take long where the kids think they're smarter than their parents. And parents, when the child's young and can be disciplined into, you know, knowing the difference between right and wrong, and living a, you know, not legalistic life, but a life that is more ordered, okay? And so, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, I told the old man to go to hell, or something of a sort. We see very little respect for the aged in the day in which we live. And then he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Maybe that's why I've lived so long. No, it's never under that law. And it says, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say that in Hebrew, because the Jews were commanded to put certain ones to death. In the Hebrew, it means, thou shalt do no murder. Well, we want to let the murderers go free and take all of the benefits of a free society away from man. And, you know, the taxation, the way it's going, you know, they're trying to make a perfect society. But in their perfect society, their buddies that got them elected because they have lots of money, they write laws so they don't have to pay taxes and so that their buddies don't have to pay taxes. Oh, it says, if you make over such an amount of money, you got to pay 65%. And yet we read about Bezos and different ones in a couple of cycles back, that he paid less than 1% tax. Yeah. You say, how does he do that? Well, he keeps all of his money invested, and if he needs any to live on, he borrows it, and then gets to deduct the interest. And so he doesn't have any income that's taxable. Ah, the secret to the fountain of wealth. Yeah. And which of our congressmen, you know, used to be, you know, you could go in the Senate 6 years, you know, in the House, what is it, 4 years or 2 years? 2 years, I think it is, in the House. And anyway, and the president has a 4-year term. But, you know, it's limited. Man, they weren't intended to be there all the time. In fact, in the day when we first founded this country, you know, Congress would meet, but then they would leave because they had farms to take care of. You know, they weren't getting fat wages and all that type of thing. And it was, you know, an act of patriotism to serve as a member of the House or a member of the Senate. And the Senate was elected by the states, and the House was represented by the, or elected by the people. And then, of course, you would be in a congressional district, and however, and you would vote for somebody in your congressional district, and however you voted, if you happened to be in the majority for that district, then your representative would have what we call an electoral vote. And the representatives were chosen for the size of the states. Every state had two senators, but only what? They could have maybe 8 or 10 or 12, depending upon the population, representatives. And the representative, though, had to vote in a presidential election the way his district voted. Well, over time, that's been changed so that, you know, it's now winner take all. You know? So what happens to the people in Central Oregon, Southern Oregon, Northern Oregon, Eastern Oregon? Most of them are very conservative, and they're not represented. You go from Portland to Salem to Eugene, Roseburg, Medford, all the way, and the whole, you know, coastline votes to the left, and in the East Coast, it's the same way, you know. So you have, all of that, you know, the president being selected by just the more populous states. Well, that's why we had it set up so that the senators had the vote the way the state voted. So the state government would elect the senator. And the, representatives would be stated, elected according to their district. Have you ever looked at an electoral map? Boy, they really do some fancy zigzags with the borders so they can get all of them that are vote a particular way into a district so that they will have the majority. So we're without representation. Got to get back to the Word of God. But it just shows that, you know, we've had one of the best governmental systems in all the world with the most freedoms. And part of our Constitution says that Congress shall not make any law against an establishment of religion nor the free exercise thereof. Well, they're working on it. And as rapidly as things are changing, you know, all of the technology for the reign of the Antichrist is in place. You know, people used to say, well, how is it that you're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast in your forehead or on your hand? You know? Well, they can do an implant or a tattoo, like one of those little things that you see in the corner of your television, just scan this. You know? They can do it with that technology. And of course, unless you worship the beast, and we don't have to worry about it because we're all going to be caught away. But they've got the technology to do it now. And more we're moving in that direction. And more we're talking about, you know, let's get rid of you know, governments of states, and let's get rid of and just have one government for all of Europe, and one government for all of Asia, and one government for all of the Americas. And they will all be one government. They're going to get it under the Antichrist. And it's going to happen very quickly, because we see it being set up right now. You know? And so, as we see these things, what did the Lord say? When you see certain things come to pass, do what?
Look up.
Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, you know, if the Lord keeps me here that long, in June, I'm going to be 91 years old. You know? I never, ever thought, with all the things that have happened to me in my life, that I'd ever live that long. But Joanne basically had very little wrong with her, but the Lord took her first, and I'm still here. So, not because of me, but we have a ministry, and if, as long as the Lord can use me in the ministry, he's going to do it. And one day he's going to say, okay, Dale, that's enough. Come up hither. Yeah. And that's not a sad day. That's a day to be rejoiced in. Okay? So thou shalt not kill or do any murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, Jesus took that when he was preaching to the Jews. He took it a step further. He says, if you look on a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. So you don't actually have to have a physical coupling to commit adultery. You know, you can do it. You know, I don't know how they would sell Playboy magazines and all those type of things and keep this law. You know? Yeah. And thou shalt not steal. You know? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Oh, boy. Hey, just a minute. We got to get the eraser out and remove 99 and 44, 100% of the politicians in the country. And all of the people. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Well, he just got a Lamborghini. I ought to be able to have a Lamborghini. For those that don't know what a Lamborghini is, it's a very expensive sports car. You know, it used to be covetous horse or this or that or whatever. So thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that's thy neighbor, that is thy neighbor's, okay? Okay, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. And they said to Moses, remember, before this was, you know, they had it, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But when all of the giving of the law with Moses on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, he said, speak thou with us and we shall hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we do what?
Die.
Lest we die. No man can stand in the presence of a holy and righteous and just God. That's why Christ had to come. And that's why Christ, in preaching to these Jews, use the law lawfully to condemn them, because the rabbis and the scholars had basically, in their interpretations of the law, they interpreted it in a way which gave them the sense of fulfilling it. They did exactly the same thing that the churches do when they say, okay, now that you're saved, you got to keep the law. No, you're dead to the law and alive to God in Jesus Christ. And when we, you know, they said, They say, well, you preach grace that sin might abound. And you preach law and sin does abound. Yeah. And Thanksgiving will keep you from doing more of an overt nature than law ever will. So let's go back to the 13th chapter. And he spoke the parable of the sower and so forth. And he answered in verse 11. Oh, in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Parables are natural stories that carry spiritual lessons. Okay? So, the sower went forth to sow. Well, we go forth for the word of God, and we speak the word of God. That's casting the seed. You know? And then while men slept, an enemy came and did what? Sowed tares in the same field. That's everything that's religiously false is sown in the same areas where we preach the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And because man thinks in a legalistic fashion, because Adam and Eve was deceived, and Adam sinned willfully. Okay. Adam still was in the image of God, and he knew that unless he sinned, Eve would be damned forever. So Adam gave his life for his wife. And when we compare that, the Lord Jesus Christ, what's the church called? The Bride of Christ. And Christ did what? Gave himself for his wife. You know, that includes the Old Testament saints as well as the New Testament. For let's pick up at verse 11. He answered and said unto them, I speak to them in parables because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And if we look over in Luke for the same portion of scripture, there it says what he seems to have. People, no one can keep the law. And people have all kinds of way of dancing around a literal fulfillment of the law. But because they're for it, people would say they seem to have it. No, yeah, they don't have it. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he seemeth to have. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith. People attack salvation by grace through faith because they say you could do anything you wanted to. Well, Israel proved that they did anything they wanted to do, and they said, although the Lord has spoken, we will do, and the churches in the age in which we live will say, okay, you're saved by grace through faith, but now that you're saved, you have to try to keep the law. Yeah. Well, all that the law can do for me or you is what?
Condemn us.
Condemn you. Is being condemned, is that a positive influence towards getting the gospel into a lost world? No. You know, we're always looking at what we've where we messed up. Yeah. So what we do by faith with the gifts that God has given us. Are we ever going to do it perfectly in this life? No. But we're using the gifts and the Spirit of God indwells each one of us. And so what we do by faith with the gifts that the Spirit of God has given us, that will be remembered at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's likened to those elders, 24 of them, sitting around a single throne. Each of them has a crown on his head. We're going to receive crowns. I don't think that's literal. But the crown represents rewards for living your life by faith. Okay? And then what's going to happen? After we've been rewarded for what we've done, you know, we minister in the things of the Lord. Each one of us has a gift or gifts, and when we operate in that, the Lord says he's going to reward us for that. But what are we going to do with that reward ultimately. We're going to take the crown from our head and cast it before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because only he is worthy to reign. So I figured it out one time. It's somewhere around 65 years or more that I've been preaching the gospel. And I got to thinking the other day, I had tremendous growth and tremendous discernment right from the beginning, but I didn't have anyone to take me along in the Word of God and show me various things. And I was perplexed over that. And then I realized God's an omniscient God. He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. He called me into the ministry. I didn't call myself. So the gifts that I was going to need for the ministry, I had immediately upon my salvation. So I was reading the Word of God, taking it in copious quantities. And the Lord was putting it together in my mind with the gifts of discernment. So that's why I was able, not because of me, but because of the Lord, that's why I was able to argue strong points of theology when I was only a year and a half old in the Lord. It's by the power of God, not by the power of man. So Jesus said, it's given to you to understand the things of the Spirit of God, speaking of his disciples. But under the nation of Israel, who is involved in pretense, they can't understand because they're spiritually dead. And so he said, therefore, I speak to them in parable, because they see and see not, and they hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. See? So the Jews were the custodians of the gospel, and the Jews were the custodians of the sacrificial system, and the sacrificial system pointed them to faith in Christ. What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus walking in the wilderness? Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? Taketh away the sin of the world. Okay. And there were many that believed John, and then our Lord began to gain his own disciples. And, he just had a handful, 12 men, one of them was the devil. Yeah. But it had to be. See? And so our Lord's public ministry was designed to condemn Jews under the law, or anyone else who thinks legalistically. See? That's what the law is designed to do. But with the giving of the law was the giving of the sacrificial system. Now, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, the scripture said, can never take away sin. But those sacrifices all pointed to Jesus Christ, who is the one sacrifice for sin forever. He made that sacrifice. And because he lives, we shall live also. It's never predicated upon our actions. God gives us the gift of faith to believe. And we exercise that gift. And then he says to us, and I'm, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as what? As the manner or habit of some is. And when are we to increase our attendance? As we see the day approaching. Well, if you can't look at what's going on politically in this world. And I remember back when I was preaching on some of these things when Brother Stewart was alive, he said, it's not bad enough yet. And he was absolutely right. There are a lot of things that pointed then. Now it has expanded at an exponential rate. And we see the nations of the world desiring to be what? One world. Well, what are we going to have under the Antichrist? One world. So the minds of people are moving in that direction, but the Antichrist hasn't shown up yet. And then when he shows up, he can't show up until we're gone. So there And when the Antichrist comes, there won't be a single testimony to the truth in the earth for a short period of time. Yeah. And then as soon as he comes, we're caught away. And then the 144,000, who I believe were those Jews that were raised with the Lord when he was raised. Remember, they showed themselves alive in the streets of Jerusalem. I believe the Lord's been training those people to be his witnesses during the Great Tribulation period. They've already died, so the Antichrist can't put them to death. There's two people that didn't die, Enoch and Elisha. And they will be, I think it's over in about the 12th chapter of the Revelation. Well, they're going to come to the earth, and they are going to be killed by the Antichrist, and their bodies are going to lay in the streets for 3.5 days. And then the world's going to see them come to life and start ascending into heaven. No, it's not going to change the world's mind. No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we're getting very close. And how close? Well, for me, it doesn't make any difference. I'm on extended leave at the present time. Yeah. But I'll say this, I have just as much security in how long I'll live as any of you have. Yeah. Nobody knows the day of his death. Yeah. But death comes to us all, except for those that are alive at the coming of the Lord. And he's going to blow the trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up, where? To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when the Lord comes back, he's going to bring us with him. When Jesus was raised, I want to put this in just to give us something to think about. When Jesus rose from the dead, what received him out of their sight? Or I believe the clouds received Jesus out of their sight, the 12 on the earth, okay? So, what were those clouds? I believe they were the 144,000 or however many Jews were raised with Christ. They're in white raiment, which speaks of the righteousness of Christ. You put them in the air, and he's received with them and taken into heaven. And when the Lord comes, he's going to come with all his saints, and we're going to be clothed in his righteousness. So he's going to come in the clouds. Now, I believe it'll be clouds of believers. Yeah, it could be natural clouds. There's no problem with that. But because of the resurrection of the Old Testament, or a portion of the Old Testament saints, when Christ was raised, and they were raised as when he was raised, and then when the Lord comes, he's going to come with all the saints. It seems to fit, you know. And so, let me read one more verse here, and then I'll close. There are two verses. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, verse 13 and 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. And we'll go along with the Lord's, how he describes the Jews and their hard hearts. They got to where they thought they were good enough for heaven. So they weren't looking for a savior. But if they'd understood the sacrificial system, every animal that was sacrificed represented Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. But the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer could do what? It could never take away sin. So those animals were just representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, now in this age, the Spirit of God indwells us, and we're able to discern the Word of God and preach the Word of God by his power. And as we preach it, only God has the power to save a soul. Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But no matter, you know, I can give an invitation for 2 hours after the service is over, you know, this just could be wasting everybody's time. God saves whom he will, or who he will, in his time. We are given the responsibility to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, we can't physically go into all the world. So what do? We support missionaries. Not in all the world. We don't have that kind of wealth. But we support many in Nigeria and many in the Philippines. And the Lord is still using them to win souls. And so we're going to keep on doing it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace. And we realize that in this ministry to the Jews under the law condemned them, but the sacrificial system pointed them to faith in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But most of the Jews were not willing to see themselves condemned. And so it is in this church age. People think they're good when they're anything but good. Bless in each of our hearts and lives, we pray. Now, in Jesus' name, amen.